Tornadoes have killed at least one person now in Kentucky, where state officials say the man got into a storm-related car crash. State Transportation Secretary Jim Gray says there's also a ton of damage.
With more rain forecast for today and the next several days, we expect more flooded highways, especially in low-lying areas.
Tornado warnings are also in effect today in three other states. Rescue workers are digging through debris for survivors of a massive earthquake in Taiwan. It killed at least 9 people this morning and injured more than 1,000. Officials believe those numbers could go up. And Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says it could be another year before its interest rate cuts make a dent in sky-high inflation.
We don't see ourselves getting a 2% inflation until, you know, all the way back to 2 until 2025 or so.
The Fed meets again later this month, but changes are not expected till at least June. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump is endorsing Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde, who was at the former president's rally in Green Bay yesterday.
Republicans must win. We want to landslide. We want it to be too big to rig.
President Biden won the Democratic primary. He'll campaign in Madison on Monday. More Americans approve of the job the U.S. Supreme Court is doing, but there's a ways to go. That's according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll out today. It shows 47% of adults approve of the job the High Court is doing. That's the highest number in more than a year. But 53% disapprove. The upturn comes after the court has tackled several high-profile cases, including keeping Donald Trump on this year's presidential ballot. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. United Way of Southwood in Adams County's annual United Weekend Food Sculpture Contest has been announced. It will happen on Witter Field on Tuesday, June 18th. They're looking for teams to participate in the event. The competition includes using hundreds of donated food and basic need items to build sculptures. These sculptures will be on display during the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters game against the Battle Creek Battle Jacks, with play starting at 6:35 on June 18th. A panel of judges will give awards for most nutritious and most creative, and fans in attendance will vote on a Community Choice Award. You'll need to register your team by May 1st to be entered to win Craft River tickets. You can visit uwswac.org to register. Mid-State Technical College held their ribbon cutting for the new LEAD Center this week. The new center will serve as Mid-State's business management leadership home base. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A win on opening day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers kicked off their home game season with a 3-2 win over the Minnesota Twins. There was a home run by Christian Yelich, some good pitching, and new third baseman Oliver Dunn with a SportsCenter top 10 catch that had him looking like Superman on Bally Sports.
Liner caught!
Couple of steps, a dive, and able to keep it in the glove. Big defense.
Oliver Dunn after the game.
We were playing down the line, and I knew that more than likely the ball was going to be at me or that way. So I think I was anticipating a little bit being that way because we were guarding the double. But it was one of those ones you just hope to react the right way when the play happens.
NBA, the Bucks lose another road game, this time to the Wizards. 117-113.
I don't know. I just think they outplayed us. Give them credit. I thought they were faster, quicker. I don't know if we took them light or not, to be honest. I just thought they outplayed.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Snow continues as winds whip up to 40 miles per hour, blowing and drifting the snow all around. Another inch is expected to accumulate today and turn to flurries by night. Keep in mind, as high temperatures hit the mid-30s, a little bit of rain may mix in. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this April 3rd, 2024. I have your host, James J. here, and we are welcoming in our studio today our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Quentin Ellis with us. Good afternoon, Quentin. Good to have you with us.
Good morning.
And we have Scott Goldberg with us as well. Scott, good to see you.
Hey, good morning.
Appreciate both of you guys being here. Big shout out to Sheriff Sean Becker for being with us as well. Or not with us, but of course, Sean's always here pretty much.
Right.
His presence is felt. We appreciate him setting this up as always. And the good work there. And obviously a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys very much. Do yourself a favor, go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to the great work they are doing. Guys, how you doing? How's things going? Quentin, start with you.
I'm doing real well. Just pass along that Sean is sorry he can't be here. He's with some of our other command staff at a trauma-informed leadership training over in Green Bay. So really furthering what we do. So one of our focuses at the department is leadership development at all levels and being in tune with, you know, the changes in the workforce and dealing with people that, you know, are dealing with trauma, whether it be at home, in the workplace, and being able to be better for them. So shout out to him for doing that. Took our operations captain, Charlie Hugestegger, patrol lieutenant, Calvin Dorhorst, and a member from human resources as well at the county over there. So they braved the roads this morning, headed over to Green Bay, right into the heart of some of this. But
he makes it hard to give him a hard time.
He does.
You know, like I'm all set to like, oh, you know, joke around. Oh, yep. Sean should, and then I hear something like that. I'm like, yeah. I could give him a hard time. That's amazing.
He still can, James. He enjoys that as much as the other. He certainly dishes it, so encourage it.
Right on. That is really cool, though. You know, this is something that we don't get to talk about with law enforcement nearly enough, the continuing of education. We're going to actually touch on this a little bit with some tech news that we want to get into. But it's one of those sections of the job that we never really cover. I can't imagine how many classes or how many programs that you guys do over the years in the training that you take. And I don't know that this is necessarily every officer that does this, but it sure seems like, whether it's an officer or it's somebody in the sheriff's department, you're continuing that education.
Yeah, the state has requirements that every officer, in order to return or retain their certification in the state, has 24 hours of training a year. And some of those are very specific in what they have. They have a handgun qualification course, EVOC, which is like the pursuit driving, has to have 4 hours every 2 years. And that outside of that, they do encourage the refreshers in DAT and the, you know, some of the hard skills that we do. What they don't really have a mandate on yet is the soft skills. And that's where I'm really proud of our department in that we are picking up the ball and running with that. Sean has really brought that. Again, he wanted me to mention this week, our 13th crisis intervention team training is taking place over at East Junior High. The vast majority of our staff, sworn and civilian, have been through that. We're just getting new people caught up to that. And that is expanding on within those 24 hours. It's kind of left up to agencies on what they want to do. Some people eat that up on legal updates and more of the hard police skills, if you will.
Yeah.
And we certainly do focus on that. We have a lot of areas of expertise within our department, whether it be computer forensics, instructors in those areas, some of the technology stuff we're going to talk about. We're very focused on mental health, not only in the community, but as well as our staff, our leadership teams. So we dedicate a lot of our training hours to that.
We got to let Scott get out of here pretty soon, so we got to get to him. But I think maybe we can get into that a little bit more later, if you don't mind, Quentin. I'd really like to. I think that's a fun one to get into and really interesting to the audience. They don't know a lot of that stuff.
Sure.
But we're going to start with tech until I derailed us. But there is some really interesting things going on with you guys with the tech over there.
Absolutely, and I'll let Scott speak to the first part of it. We have a very exciting time at the Sheriff's Department, working collaboratively with our county board to secure funding for some technology projects that were overdue, and we're catching up with the times. Scott will talk about the Flock camera system that we're working to get implemented, and then I'll follow up later with an Axon, we call it an officer safety bundle of technology that that we're working on currently as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, Scott? I think just so that the audience understands what Flock is, I had no idea what Flock was just a few years ago, and then we were lucky enough to start utilizing it occasionally because our county didn't have any. So what it is it's a set of cameras that basically go around different locations throughout the county. We're starting out with five in our county. Four of them are going to be stationary, two on the north end, and then two on the south end of the county. And then we have one mobile camera. And what these cameras do is they have the capability to do a license plate read, which is important, but they also record video footage of those vehicles. Just to give an example of why that's important is if we have a crime that takes place, let's just say just past the roundabout here, and let's say one of those cameras was posted nearby.
Yeah.
As that person drives by, it'll obtain that license plate, and then save it for a period of time, up to 30 days. So that becomes very important, obviously, when we're trying to solve crimes. The other thing that is probably more, it's almost more important, is we can put an alert out. So we can log into this website, and one of our officers, and all of our officers will have access to it, including our dispatch center. We can, let's just say a child abduction, but we have a plate to that. We can put that plate number in, and then if that vehicle drives past one of the cameras that's stationary, it'll notify dispatch and all the officers that are working that vehicle's been spotted.
Wow.
And so it's not just child abduction. I mean, this could be as simple as a gas drive off that we can utilize. Yeah. We like to talk about the big stuff, you know, child abductions or homicides or things like that, but we'll be utilizing it for all different types of crimes. We've already utilized it for different types of crimes. We don't have these cameras yet. We're working on getting them installed, but communities around us have them, and so we're able to log in and still get those alerts and still be utilizing them to solve crimes.
Scott, this is fascinating to me and really interesting, in part because we've gotten comfortable with cameras on our signs and different things, and I think a lot of us can just assume that this is law-related or helps you guys in your task and your job. To hear some of the details of this new tech is really interesting to me, and I there's a couple of things that really stood out to me. The saving it for 30 days. I don't know, that seems new. That the previous programs didn't do that. That seems really, really helpful, especially with every second counts, whatever the crime is. We've heard it our whole lives with when it comes to a homicide or a missing person, but that's every case. As soon as the clock starts ticking, everything is, you know, you've got to get that information as soon as you can. So there's that part of it, too. It's interesting about the missing persons or the abductions. That part of this is a really interesting part of it to me that maybe we get better. Maybe we create more solvings of those cases and more. I can't imagine, because the thing that I keep thinking about is the stuff we're not even thinking about yet. Right. This happens with tech all the time. We start with this idea and we find out, oh, we can do this with it too. We can do this, and with something like this with law enforcement involved, I can only imagine the things that'll come of it over the years.
And one of the things I think I had concerns about, because, you know, all these projects, and you involve tech, it's expensive, right?
Yeah.
And so you want to get the best bang for your buck out of it. And if we can solve crimes and by doing this. And so time was a big thing. Like, how fast do we actually get these reads? So during this, obviously, they give you the sales pitch, right? And you always wonder, right? And so one of our neighboring departments already have their cameras up. And I was speaking with them about that. And they put a test run and their cameras got going before they even went live with it. They put one of their squad's license plates in and then drove past.
Nice.
within a second or two, they already receive notification on this, what they call a hot list that they have, that that vehicle has crossed that camera. So, I mean, that is really fast.
Yeah.
And it'll give our officers an ability. Our dispatchers will also get these alerts and be able to dispatch our officers, even if like they're not staring at their, because if they're driving, they're not staring at their computer screens, right? So they'll be able to dispatch, you know, maybe we have this vehicle that's involved in a burglary, or maybe it's a vehicle that we're tracking for a drug situation. There's so many uses. The other part that I think is important too, it has the ability, let's say the vehicle, because what do criminals do? They're trying to get away with things, right? So maybe they obstruct their license plate. We can just type in, let's say, a red sedan, or red, let's say, we can go down to the type of vehicle, like a red Kia with a sticker with in the back window. We can log into that, and it'll show us every Kia within a time frame in those locations at that point.
That's and that gives us actually a chance.
So if we have an eyewitness to a crime, let's say a burglary, for an example, and they said, well, we know it was a four-door car. We know it was a four-door car. It was gray. You know, it was too far away to get a license plate, but it had a big, huge sticker in the back window. We can put that in there, and it'll give us all the vehicles that match that description. And then, but the cool part is the camera is on the roadway, near the roadway, and then we'll be able to obtain all the license plates that kind of match that vehicle. Because there might be more than one, but it gives us a starting point, which right now, a lot of times, we don't have.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's interesting you bring up the budget part of this. You know, we just got done with an election day, and pretty successful. We'll touch on that a little bit later, Quentin. But we just saw that a number of different counties didn't want to okay a budget for schools and putting money into education. You guys know this better than I do, and most do, as far as putting money into our law enforcement and getting you guys a budget, because the eyes go to the tank or go to this or that or whatever. The tech part of this is something that doesn't get talked about and is vital going forward for our law enforcement. The criminal element has all the budget in the world. Like they got no issues with that. We need to keep up to date with them, if not be ahead of them on these things. This kind of stuff helps us get closer to that.
For instance, you know, these cameras are expensive, but at the scheme of, there's departments not far from us, and I don't want to name other departments because I don't want to speak for them, but they could have put other officers on. But it was actually cheaper to add cameras that have 24-hour service that could give that data nonstop. So it's obviously important to have patrolmen out there, right? But at the same time, if they can add a certain amount of cameras that give 24-hour coverage to your community, and give you immediate results, you're actually saving money in some ways. And you know, these cameras started out as just a community. And I sound like I'm giving a sales pitch for the cameras, but obviously the person that sold them to us did a good job. But these cameras started out where you'd have these high-end neighborhoods that wanted to know who was coming and going from their neighborhoods. And so that's how they started. And then neighborhoods put them up and then started sharing this information with police. And then that's kind of how they got the idea.
Not to get us sidetracked again, but I have been curious about this with the rise of cameras, and not just, you know, everybody on their phone having cameras, but now everybody house has a camera. Every doorbell nowadays has one of those cameras. Do you think that this or does this make it your job? I hate to say make your job easier. That is, I feel like I'm annoying you guys say that, but does it 100%. Help? Does it assist your job?
Absolutely.
It really does. I was curious about that.
Work smarter, not harder, right?
And right,
that's what
right.
I was going to say, if you try to put a value to these, if you did like a time value versus the wages it would take one officer to work on a missing or abducted child case, and it's not going to be one. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have all the resources we can working on that. It wouldn't take many hours of all those resources being allocated to chasing down leads that maybe these cameras do for us in seconds. That's a value, right? I mean, that's a tangible value. You could put hours worked versus the time this camera saved you. What is intangible, but more valuable, is the abducted children, the silver alerts, things like that, where we find people who are endangered because of these cameras and likely save their lives. Because child abductions, there's statistics that are just horrifying as to how terrible and how quickly they can go that bad. and with these tools in our arsenal throughout the nation, we found a child out east, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Based off of flock cameras.
Yeah, so
gave us location. So that you can't put a value to that.
No.
Yeah, so a few years ago, we had a missing child that was found out in the New York area that ultimately, we didn't even know what these cameras were at the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of our people did. I didn't, but they were utilizing those type of cameras, along with tollway cameras and things like that.
I think drones are a good example of this, too, for people, where most of us first heard about drones in war. And then it started becoming a kind of a thing where, you know, the guy who had some money, he had one, and he was flying around the neighborhood or whatever. And now we see the evolution of those where how many silver alerts have we been able to solve because of drone footage and them seeing a land that we can't get to or something? This is the expansion of this. Our society focuses so much on the negative of tech, and that's understandable. I get mm-hmm. some of that. But we have to give the credit where it's due sometimes, too. This is some incredible things that are happening here. And that's not the only thing there. Again, thank you, Scott, for the great information. Appreciate that. Quentin, I know that you had something in the tech realm that you wanted to touch on as well.
Yeah, the Sheriff's Department's been working on updating our officer safety bundle for over 3 years now. Our body cameras, our squad cameras, our electronic control devices, our tasers, and the evidence management system that all goes along with those. We've been fortunate to have tasers in deployment since 2003. Our squad cameras have been in all of our squads since about 2010, and our body cameras since 2016. So at that time, we were kind of on the front edge of that, but tech is expensive to replace. Axon gives a bundle that we're, again, fortunate to work with our county board to secure funding for that will replace all of our tasers with the newest technology. The squad cameras are being installed as we speak over at our rescue shop, and all 28 of our patrol cars, our armored vehicle for our SWAT team, and all of our body cameras will be replaced. So another neat fact that builds on what Scott was saying with Flock is these squad cameras are immensely better than the ones we had installed in 2010, right? Huh. Those are end of life, not really supported anymore, but we limped them along. And we, within hours of our first squad camera being, our new squad camera being deployed, it was out on patrol in the north end of the county, and Marshfield had a pursuit. Our officer was going to respond to assist, and so he's coming towards the area, and I don't know if he's at a low speed, getting ready to turn around, stop to turn around. The fleeing vehicle comes at him 100 miles an hour. This camera caught not only the vehicle, took a picture of the plate. I mean, we're talking 100 miles an hour closing speed. The cameras we have now, we would have been like, you see a blur. But it not only grabbed that plate, but it can interact with the Flock system for any flag plates that we might be looking for. A homicide vehicle drives by you, you don't know about it, and it's going to pop up on your machine. So with all that, I can't thank the county board enough because it was quite an investment. It was an impact to our budget. But they saw the value and the need, again, to keep our officers safe. Yes. The tasers are things that we hopefully don't have to use all that much, but it's a less lethal use of force. The squad and body cameras help protect our officers, keep them safe, as well as provide transparency. And a neat part of that is this is all cloud-based storage and access now for that media, where before our squads would have to come in, upload, it'd be on a physical server. But then if you had an open records request, James, or you were the victim of the crime, you wanted the squad footage, or even to share with our prosecutor's office, it would take our staff finding the video, exporting the file, burning a DVD, making a copy of the DVD, and then sending that up. So hours lost, resources spent on storage devices that are outdated. Computers don't even come with a DVD player anymore, or a DVD drive. So again, we were fortunate to have what we did. We made it work as long as we could. But to be stepping up into current times with this technology is just incredible. Another feature that comes with it, and as awful as this may sound, it's great for protecting our officers and providing transparency, is the triggers. So if Scott and I are at a scene and we have our body cameras, it used to be that we would have to activate them. So it was a choice to activate them. It was a memory to activate them. But if I'm being attacked, I'm not thinking, oh, I better press this button and see what's going on. Now there are deployment triggers where if a weapon's unholstered, not only my body camera immediately activates, but any of our officers in this area, they activate to show that all the angles that, that can be, because one angle, even on video, can be deceiving.
Sure.
So it's just a testament of, like you said, the technology developments. And I thought it's funny that you asked if that was insulting to us, if it made our job easier. And I appreciate that. But it's work smarter, not harder. The technology is there, and it'll free up a ton of time with on the back end of it, managing the media that we have, even getting it to their prosecutor's office. Obviously, they need the best stuff, the best visible evidence, all the evidence from us to best prosecute the case, and we can get it to them by sending an email link, internet link. So we're really stepping with the times.
Certainly going into what we're talking about with time and getting on these things quicker and hopefully getting a case solved, that's key to that. The sharing of information being a lot freer and smoother, mm-hmm. that the time saved there is more time being spent on a case. So that's key, and that's important to this too. But Quentin, something that you said there that I really appreciate, and I appreciate of all of the sheriff's department so much, is bringing up the accountability for one. Mm-hmm. That's appreciated, but also giving us the other angle of that, because as a society we focus so much on that the accountability end of things and wanting to make sure that you guys are doing it, blah 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 blah, although you know doesn't seem to care with other things, but that's other side subject.
Sure.
But your safety should be number one, 1A, 1B. We can chew gum and walk at the same time. Mm-hmm. We can want accountability from our officers, like every good officer wants that too. Mm-hmm. You know, that nobody dislikes a bad officer more than a good officer. Like that's right. Something that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes a lot. But also, your safety. The safer you guys are, the better you're going to be able to do your job. Nobody can do their job well when all you're doing is worrying or nervous or stressed. Now, there's enough of those things already in there, I imagine. But to have that comfort, for lack of a better word, right there, that not only it goes on for you, but your fellow officers know, Quentin had to pull out his gun, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like that, the spreading of that information is also key to this, too, the safety end mm-hmm. of things. So we don't get to touch on that very often.
Yeah, it's great. Our officers embraced it. When we first got body cams, there was apprehension because what if I slip up and somebody's really getting my goat and I don't speak how I want to, or something along those lines. Some people were a little concerned about that, I'll say, because it's changed, right? But they have fully embraced it, because the first few videos we got uploaded, and we'd get a complaint call in, well, your officer said this to me, he was rude to me. I'm going to bring one up of Scott, actually, because it was the exact reason we have these. A mom called and said that your officer was rude to my child and da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh. Okay, I'm watching the video. Would you like to come see it? And it was the exact opposite. Scott was pleading with this kid, hey, don't make a bad choice. It wasn't like end of the world stuff, but he was trying to prevent a bad situation mm-hmm. from happening. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, there's trouble there. Don't go do that. Yeah. Like, you're not in any trouble now. And it was like the kindest, like most preventative police occurrence that you could have. But when... the child came home and told mom something different, because right. ultimately they did later make a bad choice. Mm-hmm. But when we can say, would you like to watch the video? That I haven't seen very many misunderstandings not cleared up by the video we have, if that makes sense.
It really does. Especially, I think everybody has been in the he said, she said situation before. This really gives some evidence to that.
And cameras make cops better. One, our investigations are better because we're human too, right? So we can go back and look at those videos. Sometimes you'll see a statement that, so I'm an investigation, so I'm a lieutenant of investigations. I often will tell my guys, hey, go back, review that video. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a statement that was said that maybe, because you're writing notes, you're taking notes and things like that. You go back and sometimes you'll miss a statement or how that person said it. Also, you know you're being recorded. And we want to be as transparent as possible at the department, and I think that's really important for the community to have trust in us, and we are transparent. So having every angle like this, and every and having recordings on our officers in our cars, we're willing to share those. You know, when we can, obviously per state statute, we're going to share those, and that's important for the community to have that trust with us too.
We're going to share you, Scott. We're going to have to let you go for here because you're off to do something else. Would you mind telling the audience what you're going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to a meeting at the Family Center, and we are talking about sexual abuse and sexual assault. And I think it's important, you know, that the community knows that we work with many different departments and throughout the county. And so these are meeting with several officers throughout the county, including Marshfield, Rapids, Pittsville, and then other agencies such as Marshfield Medical Center and First Health, and then the Family Center, and how we help sexual assault victims get through a bad situation.
I hope I didn't put you on the spot there, but I just wanted to note that piggybacking off of where we started here with the additional continued learning and the other side things that you guys do all the time that we don't, again, get a chance to touch on very often. And appreciate that, Scott. Appreciate the time today, too. Safe travels out there. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll have take a quick time out, check in with our partners. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Midday Magazine at WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Critics of President Biden's Gaza policy are sending him a message. 47,000 Democratic primary voters voted uninstructed yesterday. Anthony Chergosky teaches political science at UW-La Crosse. He predicted earlier this week the protest vote would be much bigger than 20,000.
It was quite shrewd of them to set that expectation because it will be viewed as a smashing success.
Chergosky spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Wisconsin voters are approving two constitutional amendments that would ban the use of private money for elections and limit who can work on the voting process. Supporters say they're necessary to safeguard election integrity, but opponents say they could leave local elections underfunded and understaffed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you want to work for the Raptors this summer, they're holding open interviews starting tomorrow. The Wisconsin Rapids Raptors will have open interview dates for game day summer positions on April 4th and April 18th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Witter Field. If you're interested, you should bring your application and be ready for an on-the-spot interview. You can find out more at northwoodsleague.com. National Volunteer Week is later this month, and the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties want to celebrate their volunteers. Any community members who volunteered with the United Way in 2023 are invited to attend this drive-through event on Friday, April 26th. It's at St. John's the Evangelist Church between noon and 1:30. That's located on 320 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You'll receive a small gift as appreciation for your contributions to United Way's efforts to strengthen our community. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A win on opening day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers kicked off their home game season with a 3-2 win over the Minnesota Twins. There was a home run by Christian Yelich, some good pitching, and new third baseman Oliver Dunn with a SportsCenter top 10 catch that had him looking like Superman on Bally Sports.
Liner caught by Dunn! Put a cape on him!
Couple of steps, a dive, and able to keep it in the gloves. Big defense.
Oliver Dunn after the game.
We were playing down the line, and I knew that more than likely the ball was going to be at me or that way. So I think I was anticipating a little bit being that way because we were guarding the double. But it was one of those ones you just hope to react the right way when the play happens.
NBA, the Bucks lose another road game, this time to the Wizards, 117-113.
I don't know. I just think they outplayed us. Give them credit. I thought they were faster, quicker. I don't know if we took them light or not, to be honest. I just thought they outplayed us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Snow continues as winds whip up to 40 miles per hour, blowing and drifting the snow all around. Another inch is expected to accumulate today and turn to flurries by night. Keep in mind, as high temperatures hit the mid-30s, a little bit of rain may mix in. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingies.
Winged thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingies.
The winged thingies.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this April 3rd, 2024. Have your host, James Yamaloff, here, and we're joined by the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Quentin Ellis with us right now. Quentin, always good to see you. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. Want to get back into some of the tech with you and touch a couple of other random notes that we have. But we just got done with an election, and a spring election here in Rapids and here in Wood County, and really obviously in the state. But just focusing on Wood County here, all I can tell seemed like pretty smooth, seemed like things went pretty well. How about from your perspective?
Very well. I met with our Security Services Lieutenant Brian Peterson this morning, which is another addition the Sheriff's Department's made over the past 4 years to keep our courthouse campus safe. We have a division of deputies assigned to that. He was in for the ballot counting last night, which is something that hadn't really been able or been provided before in the past. And so the certain parts of the courthouse have to be open so that people can, I guess, witness that. And again, the transparency of government. So we do have security staff on site until I think it was 10:30, 11 o'clock last night. But he enjoys that stuff. And he said there was no problems that he was aware of. We have a great working relationship with Trent Miner, the county clerk. And you know, we do get vigilant. I don't want to say nervous, but vigilant around elections because in today's day, there are people that like to try and disrupt them. We're hearing of security concerns for poll workers where you know, unnamed substances, sometimes fentanyl, sometimes other stuff, are being sent to locations that can disrupt an election and harm workers. And that's just repulsive. You have people volunteering their time to ensure one of the democratic, you know, rights of our country are being upheld. People having their right to vote and should be able to do so safely. And so fortunately, we haven't had concerns with that. No reports that I saw of any disruptions at a polling place or anything like that. So we're fortunate.
I always like to be transparent myself with the audience. And for note, my oldest daughter is a poll worker. She's been doing an election poll worker since she was 18. She's been doing this. And I've learned more about what it is to be an election poll worker from her and talking with others in this job. Mm-hmm. And I put that ahead to say that I cannot think of many things that are more cowardly or un-American than messing with our democracy. It seems like I don't know how more opposite you can get than being an American by messing with our democracy. And it's great to hear that this was a bit of a calmer election cycle, certainly a smaller one, a spring election, not as big as a presidential one, but we'll take the wins where we can get them.
Right.
And I think more and more normalcy only creates more of that. We get back to kind of the way things were, if you will, in a way, a new version of that,
right.
Where we treat each other with respect no matter who you're voting for.
Right.
It's a little hard to remember for some people out there, but we come from a time where, one, we never really talked politics.
Right.
I wouldn't know who you were voting for. You wouldn't know who I was. And God help you if you asked that.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
That was one of the more like whoa. You know. I don't even know if you would ask a relative that, mm-hmm. let alone just somebody that you randomly knew.
Right.
But certainly, where I don't remember growing up hearing a poll worker's life being threatened or a judge's life being threatened.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, different times.
Very different. And I don't like to be old man yelling at cloud or anything like that. Right. But this is one of those few things where I will be old man yelling at cloud. And like, we got to get back to some of this. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get back to that is some normalcy, is some of these things. Having more and more elections like yesterday go smoothly, where everybody is just kind of helping freedom ring.
Right. And we do take that seriously. We do provide extra patrols. We aren't going to station people at a specific polling place because that creates some feelings as well. Mm-hmm. But if there's threats or things like that, obviously they're not going to go unnoticed. But we do provide extra patrol around polling places during the hours on election days. And so it's certainly something that's on our radar. And again, we have an excellent working relationship with the county clerk. So he keeps us informed of any potential threats or developments across the state, just to make us aware. So again, you know, can't preach it enough. That team approach extends beyond the sheriff's department to our other county departments and the poll workers, and we just want everybody to be safe.
Yeah, and it's great. Well done by everybody. Everybody in the community, everybody that voted, the poll workers, everybody out there that made that happen. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And we got a long year ahead of us still. So let's keep that in mind, everybody, and keep that theme up of treating each other with some respect out there. We're speaking with Quentin Ellis from the Will County Sheriff's Department, and Quentin, we were talking tech earlier.
Yes.
And in that conversation, we got into a little bit of the budget. Mm-hmm. And I find budgets more interesting the older I get over, you know, the more I get older and stuff, that because it's something I never really thought much about as a kid. Mm-hmm. But I, as an adult, I see the importance of being smart with your money. And you mentioned something that I believe Scott did too about getting you bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. Something everybody can relate to. When it comes to, for you guys, one, the budget is different, obviously, but you have to be so strategic with these things, and then with the tech stuff, you have to think ahead. Mm-hmm. And how much does that play into the decision making of a budget? Not to put all this on you, like it's just your decision, but when you and the team are discussing these things, whose opinions go into the budget decisions?
At the sheriff's department, you know, we don't necessarily have the same day to day. I don't interact with, say, a night shift deputy as much as I do Sean and Scott and Charlie and that's not for any reason other than just schedule design.
Right, right.
But we do try to allow certainly more input from what the staff needs as we prepare our budget. A big part of my position is I'm tasked with preparing the budget and managing it, but that's not a one-person deal. We're a team. Right. So we'll sit down and, like, the Axon project was over 3 years in the making. I was working on gathering stuff for the team when I was an operations captain, then chief deputy. Randy Dorhorst, I was bouncing numbers off of him. Sean, as sheriff, was in the mix, certainly leading the way. He wants us to get with the times. As far as who has input, it's a team approach. We sit down. Sean has a whiteboard in his office. You know, these are our needs. These are our wants. And you're right. We have to research to get the best bang for our buck, because I'm not spending my money only, or we're not spending just the sheriff's department's money. It's taxpayer dollars. So when we go to our committee or to the county board saying we need to purchase X, Y, or Z, well, we want our I's dotted and our T's crossed that, yeah, we've looked for the best deal. We've found the best product. And this is why we need to do this. And I believe our team has done an excellent job at that. We've really brought the department back to where it needs to be technologically and with our staff. So very proud of that.
The cameras that we were talking about earlier with Scott, and a big appreciation to him. I think he broke that down really good for us and explained it really well. The placements of those cameras, is that something that's also, there's being some homework being done on? Like we're not just throwing them up anywhere. How are you deciding where to put those?
The investigative team really kind of led the charge on that, as far as hot spots in the county or significant areas of thoroughfare, whether like a city or a village will generally try to address points of ingress and egress in and out of the city or village. Yeah. County's a little more challenging, so we're trying to pick the best spots as far as coverage. Now, you don't want five in one spot, no coverage in the southeast part of the county. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, out in certain areas, pretty rural, you're not going to get a lot captured with that. So you aren't getting a good return on your investment there. So the investigative team met. They pared down some ideas, met with the operations captain, some of the patrol supervisors. And that's generally who's at the table, I will say, as far as the meeting. But that's not to say they're the only ones with decisions. Sure. Like if somebody from patrol says, hey, we've had a lot of problems at this location, you know, that's going to get filtered into our meetings. We meet monthly as an admin team, more frequently than that in smaller breakout groups. So really, I can't say enough. It's a definite team effort. No, we aren't just throwing darts at a board and going, oh, we'll put one there. So we're looking to get the most use out of them.
Got to admit, that had been one of the more hilarious answers I would have gotten, though. If you're like, we just kind of put it. We thought it looked good over here.
I wouldn't want to go to county board and say, I don't know. I mean, I threw a dart and that's what it was. But no, certainly very calculated and certainly a program that we'll evaluate as we start to utilize it and then adjust from there. If it's successful, we'll look to expand it. If it's not, we'll move on.
I was wondering if we were going to allow for more cameras or the movement of the cameras we already have. If, hey, it's not working very well here, maybe it'd be better suited here.
That's certainly something with the budgeting process that we do every year. We evaluate whether it belonged to a subscription service or a software bundle that does X, Y, or Z. We'll evaluate it and is it worth it? And the guys and gals have been really good at, oh yeah, Q, this is, we need this. Okay. Price went up, but we need it. Okay, well, we'll figure that out. Mm-hmm. Or they've also come and said, no, that's kind of fallen off. Like, that's not it anymore. There's a new trend that we need to move those dollars over here. Okay, great. So it's a living document. I never thought I'd be this into it. You know, yeah. I signed up to be a cop to do the SWAT stuff and all the stuff we talked about earlier. And now I joke that most days I need a calculator more than most of the gear I have.
Right,
on,
right. So. But that speaks to the passion for the job, too. Like to stay with something, even when it may be different than you expected, or you're wearing more hats than you expected. I can relate to that. I bet you Joe can relate to that too. As far as going into an industry with one thing in mind, and you know, years later looking back at it, like, wow, I did not expect to end up here or have these tasks, but I welcome it. I'm good with it.
Yeah, Sean and I talk about that every now and again. We, you know, I don't want to say we're getting towards the end of our career, but as a whole cycle, you know, we're probably closer to the end than the beginning. We kind of, you know, look at where the department was when we started, where it is now that we're in the positions we are. And I mean, we're very proud of it, but we're not done growing. Yeah. And we want to make sure our team that maybe is a little younger than us will be around longer than us, are set up well and keep moving forward. So.
One of the things that I thought was noteworthy, talking with Sean from the first conversation and with you and so many people in the department, is the focus on mental health. And you touched on this a little bit earlier, and the continuing education, the continuing programming on that subject. What are some of the ways that you are trying to do that, you and the team are trying to expand on that information and that knowledge?
So, like I mentioned before, we have almost all of our staff, sworn and civilian, in the jail through crisis intervention team training. It's week-long training dealing with just what it says, crisis intervention, intervening in somebody's when they're in crisis to get them connected with the proper resources so that they don't become involved in the criminal justice system. It's getting somebody hooked up with counseling or mental health help rather than, hey, they go to jail because they committed it by the black and white of the law, crime. Mm-hmm. So that is, I don't want to say basic because it's not something that Sean has really prioritized even when before he was sheriff. He was really leading the way with that. Not a lot of departments can say or boast like we can that a majority of their staff are certified in it and have gone through that. That's something we're proud of. We've expanded our chaplain program to 4 chaplains working the county to provide help to, whether it be a death notification to the community or our staff when we're going through some hard times. We've added a mental health sergeant in Doug Christensen that was grant funded for the first few years. We have peer support teams that people are trained in. And most recently, we've added a therapy dog through grant funding.
Right, yes.
Lola is a black lab. She's handled by Lieutenant Susanna Wagner in the jail. And like, you want to talk about an instant impact. Mm-hmm. You know, Monday morning, I haven't had enough coffee yet, and I'm a little ornery because a bunch of bills are on the desk, and Lola walks in, you melt. Okay, day's fine there.
Yep.
Even yesterday, I'd like to mention James Wunro was a court officer, supervisor in the jail. He retired after 15 years of service to the county. Great guy. We're going to greatly miss him. But Lola was at the party and she's laying in the middle of the floor in front of everybody. And you see cops that are normally standing around and looking the part, sitting on the floor, rubbing her belly because it just it's a big stress reliever. So outside of that, it's just creating a culture of checking on each other and being there for each other and realizing that people in our community are going through stuff. Mm-hmm. As simple as that sounds, that wasn't law enforcement 20 some years ago. That was, okay, you're acting up. I don't have any other options for you. You either go to jail or I leave. We're much more in tune as a department, as a profession now to the fact that, you know, there's more to why people are acting the way they are, that, you know, that sometimes they're going through stuff and maybe stuff we don't understand, but we recognize that and get them to the professionals that can.
I think our society is better for that. That's an opinion, I feel that's the case. But statistically, it's not an opinion that that crime has, we are smarter with crime now. That the stats has spoken to this, and across the country, especially here in Wisconsin, the more the departments focus on mental health, the more that we are seeing our everything from the amount of court cases that the judge sees to bail pay, different things. It affects almost everything. When you all of a sudden you change the approach, and it's not just black and white. You messed up. You go away. It's, hey, why did you do this? It was the first conversation Sean and I had was this, and I didn't know him from left or right. But as soon as he said that, I backed that man, and I will to the end of time. In part because this is so important going forward for everybody. You are citizens, everybody going forward. Mental health is one of the bigger things we need to face, and I think as a society we've done a good job talking about it. Mm-hmm. But now the real work comes in of not only giving each other grace and understanding this. When you see something on the news and a person messes up or something like that, and in your head, not just going immediately to lock them up, throw away the key, but why did they do this? Right. Maybe you will get to that point of locking them up and throw away the key. There's still those kind of criminals out there. Mm-hmm. But there is also the type of criminal that is doing something oftentimes that they may not even realize what they're doing or the full length of what it is, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of depth to this. Crime is not black and white. Our approach to it shouldn't be.
Right. And I believe our team has done an excellent job in addressing that. It used to be if one of our staff went to a bad call, maybe it was your first traffic fatality or something, you'd get the locker room. Hey, you good? There's only one way to answer that, right?
Yeah,
I'm fine. Yep, yeah. I'm good. and you'd know the person might be struggling, or it's not always like you see on TV, like an instant shutdown mental health episode, but the person might not realize that it bothered them yet because it's new to them. They're processing it, so they handle that call and then they go on to the next. And but as a department, with the knowledge and training that we've gotten in this, I believe we've gotten better at being able to follow up. And yeah, you and I might be at a comment like, James, you good? And you'll give me a yeah, and then okay, because we have people around. But then we circle back later and like, hey, I know that bothered you, man, because we're tight. We're a family, and we care about each other, and we've done a good job as a team. We can always get better. We're always looking to get better, improve responses, keep that training going. Again, developing our peer support, we're always looking for ways to expand it. And our admin team's done a great job at that. Sean leading the way. We have deputies involved, supervisors involved. I know Captain Hugesteger, Lieutenant Dorhorst are big time on critical incident stress, debriefs, the chaplain program, peer support. So when I start to talk about it, I get even more proud about our department, the options that we have now that weren't here when I started 20-some years ago.
Well, that again kind of ties back into what we were talking about, joking around with Joe and everything, about how we go into these industries thinking we know the job to a degree and what we'll be doing, and then you look a couple of years later, and I imagine psychology and thinking of mental health and a lot of those things was not something that you thought about going into this you know, field.
Not at all. And now it's something that's trained. Again, I give a ton of credit to Sean when he was elected sheriff, and even before. I mean, it was a passion of his, but then leading the department, he's done it the right way too. It isn't we're going to do this, get on board. I mean, he's genuine, and people are buying in, and that's good to see, because that's when you get your best results, is when people are bought in, and I believe they are.
Y'all are too humble for this. I'll say it, you're game changers. This is game changing. This is the way forward. This is how our society, this is how things get better, is things like this. People making decisions like Sheriff Becker and you and the team have made to, this is something we care about. We're going to put some time and energy into this. This is the definition of game changing. We want our society to feel more closer to our armed forces, our police departments, our fire departments, all of these things. How do you build that bridge? This is part of how you build that bridge, how we become a safer society and a stronger one. We're better together. We're better when we work together. That's what's going on here. That's what's happening here. And you're proud. I'm proud. I think it's pretty darn cool. And I, as a kid coming from my background, I never thought I'd be at this point. I never saw that coming. So I'm thankful for it. And while we appreciate the approach that the Sheriff Becker and that your team takes to a mental health, it's just as important for us as society. If we want you guys to do that, we got to do it for you guys.
Right.
We have to also understand that this is not a cookie cutter situation. Almost any crime, any situation you guys show up for. There's also, every day it feels like more and more being put on your plate. Understanding that what that is like, having some empathy for those things. It has to go both ways. It can't just be we expect you guys to have it for us. We've got to be able to do that going forward both ways. And I'm not saying this is preaching. It's something that I had to learn to do too. It's something that I've grown into, and I think a lot of people have as we've gone more forward, and that's happened in part because it all is connected, in part because of the work that you guys are doing. It's pretty cool to see when you take a step back and see how this is evolving, that we're in the middle of this as it's happening. 20 years from now, people are going to look back at this and see this as a game changer.
I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. It means a lot. That's what we're here for.
I was just reading the script Sean gave me. I did. I thought I did a pretty good job with that as an actor. No, I'm kidding. Sean would write anything like that. It's too humble.
Right.
Always appreciate the time, Quentin. Thanks, Scott, again for us and your whole team over there. As we're wrapping up, was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
I'd like to make sure we give credit where credit's due. This big Axon project is quite the undertaking, a lot of moving parts. Our operations captain, Charlie Hugesteger, is doing a phenomenal job taking that over. It's a lot. It doesn't sound, when you say tasks of, oh, well, we had to get them installed in the cars. Well, he's coordinating our whole fleet of squads, making sure the next shift has squads for patrol. These are getting the cameras installed, troubleshooting with our IT department, working with the vendor. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. He's put a lot of long hours in getting that done, so I appreciate that. Calvin Dorhorst has helped him along the way. Scott Goldberg with the Flock program. And again, I give a shout-out to Sean. it's easier when he's not here because otherwise he likes to tease me and I deserve it. But yeah, the direction he's taken us and our department, we're better for him. So
I second that. And I also want to add a thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and the great work that you guys do. A big thank you to you. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.